entering the country, but a lot of experts are saying the captures along the southwest border have been historically low now for at least the past 5 years and are more tied to economic trends than they are to U.S. policy. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Last week, the House of Representatives passed a resolution demanding the Department of Justice turn over documents regarding the Russian investigation into the 2016 election. Those documents are to be turned over today. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
How much can we expect to see President Trump campaigning for candidates this year in the midterm election? Beverly Hallberg is a GOP analyst. She says as long as the president's poll numbers are good, expect to see him out there stumping for candidates.
So anytime he can put his support behind a Republican candidate, that is likely to help that candidate. Let's not forget that Republicans are trying to hold on to Congress, so this could tip the scales for them because people across America do like President Trump. But I think another reason why is he truly enjoys it. Anyone who watched that rally last night knows that he's in his element. I think it's partly because he can get away from the White House press conference scenario where he may have to take questions from White House reporters. Here, he has reporters in front of him, and he can even ad-lib and go off the cuff.
Being a lifeguard used to be one of those cool summer jobs that a lot of high school and college students used to do. Well, now only 35% of college students and high school students are getting jobs during the summer. A growing new trend at many beaches across the country is hiring retirees like Bob McIntosh.
I handled the U.S. government real estate portfolio overseas.
Bob was a lifeguard back in college, and he talks about why he likes it once again.
I just love this job, being outside and, you know, maintaining physical conditioning.
Lifeguards are required to take recertification tests every 2 years. Ed Myers is 87 years old and a lifeguard down in Austin, Texas.
I can spot danger, and that's the secret, to spot the danger before it happens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with someone who has a really incredible story about overcoming adversity. Her name is Janine Shepherd. She is the author of Defiant, A Broken Body Is Not a Broken Person. Janine, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Derek.
Can you describe for our audience where you were in your life, what you were doing, and what happened to you on May 31st, 1986?
Okay, well, you can probably tell from my accent that I'm Australian. So I was a member. I was a member of the Australian ski team, cross country ski team. And yes, we do have snow in Australia. Let me just get that clear.
Are there, by the way?
People always wonder about that.
Like what mountain ranges does one normally go to? Such a thing.
We do. Look, I actually live in the States now, in the base of the Rocky Mountains. Right. And of course, our mountains aren't quite like this. They're very small, but it's great conditions for cross country skiing. We have some really fantastic skiers, you know, slopestyle and mogul skiers coming out of Australia now. I was headed for the 88 Winter Olympics in Calgary, and back then we hadn't, no one in Australia had received any winter medals, and my goal was to really put Australia on the map as a force to be reckoned with. Nothing was going to stop me, and I was making preparations to train with the Canadian female team in the lead up to the Olympics. And I was on a bike ride with my teammates from Sydney to the Blue Mountains. About 5.5 hours into that ride, we got to the favorite part of the ride for me, which was the hills. Got up off the seat of my bike, looked up into the sun, and then everything went black. And I was hit by a speeding utility truck and left with extensive and life-threatening injuries.
Wow. Well, what happened when you regained consciousness, and what information did you get, and what was the process for moving forward just to recuperate from that?
Well, I had what I call my death experience. For 10 days, I was in intensive care, in and out of dimensions. I remember I had a very clear, awareness of not wanting to go back to my body because it was so broken. You know, I'd broken my neck and my back in 6 places, as well as, you know, multiple injuries, massive blood loss. In fact, by the time I arrived at the hospital, my blood pressure was 40 over nothing. So after day 10, I did make that choice, obviously, and came back to my body. And it was a very different body. Of course, it was broken. And when I left hospital, the spinal ward, it was almost 6 months later, in a wheelchair, a plaster body cast and attached to a catheter bottle.
Wow. And did you have a sense immediately of what your life was going to be like moving forward, or at least what the conceptions of what your life was going to be like, what the expectations were?
Well, I was told when I left hospital that I'd have to rethink everything I did in my life, because I would never be able to do the things I did before. And at first I refused to believe it. No, they're wrong. The doctors are, you know, I am going to walk again and I'm going to the Olympics. But of course, you know, I got home and realized that that wasn't the case. And I did slip into a very deep depression. And I call that my rock bottom. And I say that, you know, the gift in that is that it not only it doesn't show you who you are, it shows you who you're not. And what I realized is that I wasn't my body. And if I was going to, you know, beat this accident, overcome this accident, I had to really let go of my dreams of going to the Olympics, my life as an athlete, and find something to replace everything I'd lost in my life, which, believe me, was everything to me at that point, everything I valued. And that decision changed my life.
We're speaking with Janine Shepherd. She's the author of Defiant, A Broken Body Is Not a Broken Person. When you were at that rock bottom and you realized that the dreams you had held up to that point were not going to come through, what did you turn to? What did you make your next dream?
Well, I had people often ask me, how did I do it? You know, and I think it was only that I actually let go of how I thought my life was supposed to look. You know, we can hold on so tightly to, you know, thinking that we have an agenda. And it wasn't until I let go of that that really my mind was open to other possibilities. And it was sitting outside in my wheelchair in a plaster body cast that an airplane flew over. And in the most unlikely moment, I looked up and thought, well, if I can't walk, then maybe I can fly. And that decision changed my life.
No, that's amazing. So you decided that you were gonna fly. You were gonna pilot an airplane. And what was the reaction of folks when you said that?
Well, I remember my mum, you know, mum, pass me the phone book. I'm going to ring a flying school. I'm going to book in for a flight. And, you know, she turned to me and went, oh, that's nice. Would you like another cup of tea?
Right.
And, you know, so everyone thought it was crazy because I couldn't walk. And weeks later, my mother and a friend drove me out to the local airport, and they literally had to lift me into an aeroplane covered in a plaster body cast. And I remember that moment so clearly. You know, the instructor taking off and being airborne, and he let me fly the airplane. Of course, I couldn't use my legs. I could only use my hands, but he let me fly, and I was filled with so much joy, and exhilaration that I knew I was going to be a pilot. And I didn't even thought, I'm not even going to worry about a medical. I'll worry about that later. But that was my motivation. I then had, you know, set a new path in my life, and it gave me a reason to get up every morning to really, with this steely resolve to learn to walk again. And I did. I am actually still a paraplegic, a walking paraplegic, but I learned to walk again at the same time as I was learning to fly. And, you know, amazingly, I went on and got my private license. I learned to navigate around Australia, flew around Australia, got my unrestricted license. And then went on and got my night rating, my instrument rating, my commercial pilot's license, my instructor rating. And then I found myself back at that same school teaching other people how to fly in around 18 months after I'd left the spinal ward.
Wow, that is amazing. We're speaking with Janine Shepherd. She is the author of Defiant, A Broken Body Is Not a Broken Person. I'm fascinated. In the span of 18 months, you had managed to turn it around, and you were not only flying but teaching others how to fly. Explain to me, if you could, like, what is the process? What adaptations have to be made, and how do you have prostheses, or what's how does your walking work, and how does the flying work, basically?
Yes. Well, you know, I walk with a limp that's you know, obviously improved a lot over the years. When I was actually learning to fly, you know, first I had a plaster cast, and then I got that taken off, and I had a brace put on. And it was, people used to stare at me all the time. I was so thin, so, you know, I'd lost so much weight.
Right.
Plus, I had to learn to use a catheter at the same time. So, you know, I had a lot of challenges to overcome. And it was just, you know, step by step. It was just, you know, what's the one thing? At first, I didn't know, you know, of course, when I first went flying, I didn't think I'm going to be a flying instructor. I just thought, I'm just going to do this one thing today, this next lesson, whatever it is, I'm just going to do that. And, you know, it was just so exciting for me. It gave me something, you know, it gave me a way to reinvent my life. And I think that's the thing when we go through, you know, a major trauma like this, and, you know, we lose our direction, our goals in life. It's really important to, you know, get back into life as quickly as possible.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
We We're Sound Income Strategies, and baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, Income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend-down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm.
Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. Numerically, that's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm, providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Janine Shepherd. She's the author of Defiant, a broken body is not a broken person. You have an incredibly inspirational story, and you've been able to do just amazing things in the wake of what could have been just essentially the end. And I know there are many people out there who are capable of that when it comes to, literally of flying, literally of obtaining a license. I know, and I'm my wife and I are caregivers of a child with disabilities, that there are certain times and certain circumstances where you know that there are things that they can do, and you know there are limits that really you are never going to be able to overcome. How do you gear yourself mentally for knowing what you can do and what you can't do when it's happening to you or when you are a caregiver for someone in that situation?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, for me, you know, having been an athlete, I mean, you know, it was very difficult for me to get to the point of acceptance.
Right.
And I think that that's really, really important. And a lot of people think of the word acceptance as being resignation. You know, right, well, that's it. That's my lot in life. But to me, when I accepted my injuries, when I accepted that, well, I'm now a person with a disability and this is my life, it was actually a really empowering place to be. It actually, for me, was a place of saying, okay, well, this has happened. You know, I can't change the past. I can't change the fact that I was run over, that, you know, that I'm now, you know, that I have these permanent injuries, but I'm responsible for everything that happens from now on. And, you know, the gift in that, and I always say that it doesn't matter what you go through in life. You know, if you can look at everything and ask yourself, what's the gift in this? Because there is a gift in everything.
Mm-hmm.
It shifts our mindset, you know, and, you know, for people with disabilities, I mean, one of the gifts for me was when in hospital they moved me next to a girl that was similar to my age. She was actually the person who was most disabled out of, you know, all of the spinal ward.
Right.
Her name was Maria. And she was a total quadriplegic. She could only move her head.
Right.
Now, we became great friends, and she always smiled. She never complained. If anyone had a reason for complaining, it was her. And she always asked me how I was. And to me, that was a wonderful lesson for me, you know, that I always realized there's always someone worse off for a start. And, you know, the way that she accepted her disability with grace, to me, is the ultimate defiant human spirit.
Yeah. I think when you talk about acceptance, it's important. And I think that you, I mean, you were in a, psychologically, I mean, just in a very difficult position, because you went in an instant from having all of your faculties and being at the peak of physical ability and then going to what you went to. And in the case of some folks, and I know that was the case with my wife and I, we didn't exactly know what to expect with our daughter. And in a way, that was a blessing. That was because acceptance came easier because it didn't come all at once. And so we were able to grade our expectations. And I think that has been enormously helpful in terms of remaining sane, which is not an easy thing, either when that happens to you or it happens to someone you love. And keeping that mindset, yeah. I mean, acceptance is certainly critical.
It's really empowering, you're right.
It's certainly not a shameful thing. It's the most, what's the word that I want? It makes your life easy. You all of a sudden you don't have to struggle, and you realize what you need to do, and that's a critical.
That's
point.
Right. And you're not fighting against it anymore. And I think, you know, that's a really important point. You know, step by step. When I was in hospital, they didn't tell me all of my injuries at once. They said to my parents, just when she asked, she's ready to hear it. So I was able to sort of, you know, process things, you know, as they came And I thought, okay, well, now this is happening and now this is happening. And, you know, living with disabilities, you know, is really challenging. And I think for me, being next to Maria in hospital was very humbling. And also it got me to the point of, instead of feeling sorry for myself and asking why me, you know, I only had to look in the bed next to me, and it was, you know, it shifted everything to why not me.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, you know, if it happened to other people, why shouldn't it? I mean, I shouldn't have a sense of entitlement that things shouldn't happen to me. And so that attitude gave me a sense of connectedness, and that's been a tremendous part of my healing.
That's fantastic. Janine Shepherd, defiant, a broken body is not a broken person. Janine, please keep flying high.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me, Derek.
We have to talk about the Emoji Bible. Yes, the Emoji Bible, dear friends, the King James Version of the Bible just got an emoji makeover. It's the most translated book in the world, and now emojis are in on the game. It's a scripture for millennials. It's available on the Apple's App Store, and the creators, well, not the creator, but the creators of the app, say that they created the translation to draw new readers to the Word of God, according to ChristianHeadlines.com. I don't know how many people this is going to draw to the Lord, really. But what's amazing about emojis and what's made them so successful is that they're language agnostic, if you'll pardon the expression. They allow you to convey an idea to anyone, regardless of what language they speak. One of the creators, who is known only as the sunglasses smiley emoji, said to the religious news site, "A major goal of this whole process was to take a book that I think is very non-approachable to lay readers and to make it more approachable by removing a lot of its density." The creator of the app also told the New York Daily News what sparked the idea to create an emoji Bible. "I think if we were to fast forward 100 years, an emoji Bible of some kind would exist. So I thought, why not try and make it? The Bible, more than any other book, has a really rich history of translation. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about emojis. And I think one of the goals of using them was to point out in the Bible, God's love is for everyone, not select people." That's right. God's love is for everyone, including if you sit in a corner all day in your parents' basement, half-shaven, and texting. The word is for everyone, people.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
USA Radio News.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in the middle of his two-day visit with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. We're hearing reports that President Trump sent a copy of Elton John's album with the song Rocket Man to North Korea as a gift for the leader, along with another gift. When asked by the traveling press pool, though, Pompeo did not confirm nor deny it. The government's June jobs report is out, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the numbers.
The hiring numbers? Well, the Labor Department says around 213,000 new jobs were created last month, while economists were expecting a gain of about 200,000. The unemployment rate, though, unexpectedly rose a bit, from 3.8% in May to 4% even last month. Average hourly earnings rose by 0.2% after growing by 0.3% in May. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay.
Hey!
So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach?
Hey!
Because Hotels.com lets me do me.
Hey!
And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop.
Hey!
I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hey! Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with David Owen. He is a New Yorker writer and the author of Where the Water Goes, Life and Death Along the Colorado River. David Owen, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you.
So my first question is, are almonds evil? Because we're always hearing about how much water growing them consumes. Do we just need to just kill those off, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, they're often at the top of people's lists. They, you know, let's get rid of golf, let's get rid of almonds, let's stop shipping hay to China. But the water issues are much bigger than that. And there's no simple little sort of trick that you can pull out of your hat to make it all go away.
Well, that's good.
I like almonds.
I love almonds too. I just, frankly, I think almond flour is a fantastic alternative to regular flour, and I love munching on them, and I just wouldn't want to give them up. So I'm very glad to hear that. If not eschewing almonds, what do we do? I mean, are we at the point where we are running out of drinkable water, especially when, although this year, California has had its cup runneth over, literally. We had so many years of drought, and that seems to be what happens more often than not, especially in the West. What point are we at with respect to water and how much we have available to us?
Well, we have lots of water, and we're not going to run out. But we're at a point where we have to be more careful with our water than we have been. The Colorado River is interesting because we use it up entirely. It doesn't get all the way to the end anymore. In the West, that's a big deal. The health of the Colorado is the health of the West, and the health of the West is really the health of the country. So, it's something we have to deal with. That river, you know, that one river, it's not a huge river. It's 1,000 miles shorter than the Mississippi. The Mississippi carries the entire annual flow of the Colorado River every couple of weeks. And yet the Colorado River supplies water to almost 40 million people. It irrigates 6 million acres of agriculture. So when the Colorado's in trouble, the West is in trouble. And when the West is in trouble, we're in trouble. If you eat your fruits and vegetables during the winter, as I'm sure you do, you're eating fruits and vegetables that come from farmland that was irrigated with water from the Colorado River. So even far away, it's something that we depend on.
So is that the biggest drain on the Colorado River agriculture? Or is it drinking water? I would assume that it'd be agriculture. At least the numbers that I've seen indicate that's actually a much bigger share of what takes water away from sources like the Colorado.
Yeah, it's always agriculture. In the Colorado River Basin, it's at least 80% of the water goes to irrigating farmland, and the largest single user is the Imperial Valley in California. If people who are at Coachella right now, that's at the other side of the Salton Sea is the Imperial Valley. Coachella also, that irrigation district also gets water from the Colorado. In Colorado itself, for example, the state of Colorado, people who live west of the mountains sort of shake their fists at people who live east of the mountains for stealing their water from carrying it over the Continental Divide.
Right.
But Denver uses maybe 2% of the state's water. Most of what gets used is used to irrigate farmland.
And how do we deal with that problem since we are, in fact, draining this river seemingly dry? Is it a matter of just picking and choosing where to have the farmland? Because honestly, I know much great food comes from there, but is the Imperial Valley really the best possible place to be irrigating?
You know, it seems insane. And if you look at the pictures of what that area is like, if it's not irrigated, it's just desert. I mean, it's
exactly
light brown from as you look at it from Google Earth. But there are actually a lot of advantages to growing things in a place like that. When I went to visit a farmer in the Imperial Valley, and it happened to rain a little bit that morning, and I said, "Well, you know, I'm good luck. I'm doing my part to help end the California drought." And he said, "You know, we don't really like rain around here. The reason is because it throws off all their planning." And he showed me, he had this stack the size of an unabridged dictionary of his planting schedules for his 3,000 acres of farmland. And he knew to the day when he was going to plant these various varieties of onions and lettuce, the day when he was going to thin them, the day when he was going to harvest them, all in rotation, so that it was like this ballet moving over the acreage. And you don't do that in the Midwest, where a single big storm can wipe out everything. A hard frost can you don't know when you plant something. You don't know when you're going to harvest it. You don't know when you harvest it, when you're going to plant again. So, and because it's so warm, they get more than one crop from in a season. So it turns out there are a lot of advantages to growing things in a desert as long as you can get the water there. So that's what the issue is there. And if we want, you know, fresh foods at times when we're not growing things where we live, then we depend on places like that for
right.
sure.
We're speaking with David Owen. He is the author of Where the Water Goes, Life and Death Along the Colorado River. We've seen a lot of high-profile confrontations over land rights and, I suppose, by implication, water rights in the West. The Bundy family comes especially to mind. Why are we seeing this come to the fore right now?
There's a sort of a general, I think in the West especially, there's a kind of an animosity toward anything that looks like federal control, federal intervention. And you see that among water users too. At the same time, among water users, the entire infrastructural network that carries water from the Colorado River to farmland in the Imperial Valley, to water users in California, in Arizona, in Utah, that carries it in some cases hundreds of miles from the river. None of that would exist without the federal government. The Hoover Dam is the big sort of poster child federal project that made a number of these interventions possible. It was farmers in California who initially called for the construction of the Hoover Dam, because their problem then was not getting enough water. It was the fact that they had to deal with too much. When the Colorado was a wild river, it would periodically flood across their fields and bury them under silt. And those farmers wanted a dam that would in the river that would make it possible to control the flow of the water and protect their farmland. So there's in other parts of the country too, the people who irrigate with groundwater, farmers who irrigate with groundwater, usually it's because of the rural electrification, a federal program that in the 1930s brought electric power to places that it was not economical to bring it otherwise. And it was that electric power that enabled farmers to tap groundwater under their fields and irrigate. You see, when you fly across the country and you see center, you see the big round green circles, those are center pivot irrigated fields. And right in the center of that circle is a well that taps underlying groundwater. And there's without a major federal investment, none of that would exist either.
Man, and I thought it was the aliens all this time.
Yeah, right. It looks like it.
especially from distance. You never know. The truth might be out there. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
Smart home technology? Meet beautiful window coverings with Smart Shades by Budget Blinds and Lutron. Easy and affordable automated shades that open and close at the touch of a button. Budget Blinds is North America's number one provider of custom window coverings, and Lutron is the most established name in smart home technology. So now you get the best in both fashion and function with our beautifully styled Smart Shades. We're your local experts, and we do it all for you. You just sit back and enjoy the seamless functionality of smart home automation to program and control your shades. Get style and service for every budget. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free smart home consultation. Call now to get a free smart lighting control bundle with your smart shade purchase. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with David Owen. He's the author of Where the Water Goes, Life and Death Along the Colorado River. So when I was a very young person in the very early 1980s, also, strangely enough, in California under then also Governor Jerry Brown, we had a slogan that was part of a program that we did called, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. And that was part of a water conservation program that also was sort of brought back in recent years and only just recently ended, also under Governor Jerry Brown. Is that the future? Is individual water conservation really what we need to do? What is the larger structural solution to this problem?
Well, you know, like everything, it's much more complicated than it seems like before you look into it. I can use the example of Las Vegas, where something like 93% of water that goes down a drain gets used again. It goes into it's processed, it's recycled, it's used again. So, if you flush water down the drain, you're not losing it. It's going into the system. If you put it on your yard, it's leaving the system until it's reemerged someplace as rain somewhere else. So in Las Vegas, which has some of the most stringent conservation rules in the country, they don't really care whether you let it mellow or
flush it down
before
right.
you flush it, because it doesn't. You know, they want you to flush it because they can use it again. What they don't want you to do is to put it in your yard. It's a tricky business, and there's a lot of moving parts, and it's hard to. That's why allowing almonds to go extinct would not wouldn't really get us anywhere.
Got it.
Certainly not killing golf. Certainly we can't get rid of golf courses.
Well, so my 20-minute shower basically okay. The golf course that I was planning in my backyard not so okay.
Well, it depends on what your municipality does with water. If the water that goes down the drain just disappears, it's all the same. But if you're in a place where there's an effort made to reuse water, then it does make a difference.
David Owen, you are defying my insistence on coming up with a simplistic solution to the problem. Gosh darn it.
Every simplistic solution I came up with, people have very, very good arguments against. It's interesting because it is so complex. And then once even if you decide, well, why are we, okay, so I accept the fact that we're going to grow lettuce in Southern California. Why are we making wine in Western Colorado? And, why are we using water for that? And you could make a rational case that you shouldn't. At the same time, people in Western Colorado, that wine industry supports an enormous tourist trade. And so every time you tinker with one piece, you end up moving a lot of other pieces. And you kind of have to move all the pieces at once, which, amazingly, people have been willing to at least try to do.
Well, David Owen, I feel like you and I are trying to solve a Rubik's Cube over the air, where one of us is blindfolded, and it's probably the one with the actual Rubik's Cube. But it's an important problem to approach, because otherwise we're going to be pretty thirsty at the end of all of it. We've been speaking with David Owen. He is the author of Where the Water Goes, Life and Death Along the Colorado River. David, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're very pleased to have on with us today Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah. He's written a new book, Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. Senator Lee, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So when we hear the story of the founding of this nation, we often think that we think back to a group of fairly well-to-do white men, but that doesn't tell the entire story of how this country was founded, and you've investigated a few cases that don't fit in with the traditional narrative.
That's right, including some women and some minorities. There were a lot of people who participated in our nation's founding and played a key role either in the drafting of the Constitution or in its ratification or in important discussions that surrounded those things that really need to be told. These stories are an important part of our history, and they tell us a lot about our time, more than we might realize. That's why I wrote this book, Written Out of History.
So tell us the story, if you could, of Mercy Otis Warren. She was a prominent female writer in the Revolution and very close to John Adams. What role did she play?
Mercy Otis Warren was a playwright. She was a polemicist. She was a commentator, very prominently so at the time. She and John Adams were quite close. They had a bit of a falling out about the Constitution during the ratification process. She wrote extensively and otherwise expressed her opinions, her concerns about the Constitution, explaining that it could result in a sort of monarchy in miniature, that the concentration of power would be facilitated by the new Constitution, and that would erode individual liberty, resulting in some of the same problems that had followed the American people prior to the Revolution. Now, she and John Adams almost became bitter enemies over this. They had this lengthy exchange of letters that were quite caustic that went on for years. But as I explain in the book, toward the end of their lives, they were able to restore their friendship. And but the words of Mercy Otis Warren still echo down through the ages and warn us today about the risks of big government.
We're speaking with Senator Mike Lee of Utah. He's the author of Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. Now, I grew up knowing Aaron Burr as a villain, no question. You know, he had fought Aaron, Alexander Hamilton in a duel, had killed him, and then had to run off somewhere. Was accused of treason. My high school history is still sketchy, but certainly with the play Hamilton being the toast of Broadway, he has certainly gotten his villain status ensconced. It seems, but the real picture is more complicated.
Yes, there's much more to Aaron Burr than meets the eye, certainly more than what we're told about him in the Broadway hit Hamilton. The fact is that Aaron Burr served as Vice President of the United States under Thomas Jefferson. And as Vice President, he presided over the impeachment trials of a number of Jefferson's political enemies. Aaron Burr was actually quite fair in the way that he conducted those trials as President of the Senate, being the Vice President of the United States. And he accorded due process rights to each of the defendants, each of the people who Jefferson really wanted removed. In part because of that, and in part because of his insane level of political jealousy, Thomas Jefferson, during his second term in office, during which Aaron Burr was not his vice president, went after Aaron Burr. And based on a very thin and shaky evidentiary foundation, had him prosecuted for treason, a capital offense. Fortunately, as I explain in the book, through a variety of means that relied on language in the Constitution protecting people accused of treason, Aaron Burr was able to save his good name and even his life, because he would have been executed had he been convicted. But it's a reminder to us that even a revered early president like Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence himself, was still capable of bad things. Good people can sometimes do bad things when they have unchecked power. And that's why I wrote this chapter of the book. It's important for Americans to read and understand.
Who was Canisatigo, and what influence did he have on Benjamin Franklin?
Canisatigo was an Iroquois Indian chief who explained to Benjamin Franklin the principle that we now call federalism, or the concept embodied in the original Constitution and in the Tenth Amendment, the idea that most powers in government should be local, and that if you're going to have a federation like ours, a federal government, that government ought to have powers that are limited so that each entity in our system, the state, each state can continue to maintain its own autonomy. This has been an important principle for us to follow. It's fostered the development of the greatest civilization the world has ever known. It is perhaps the single most important feature of our Constitution, and yet, oddly enough, Canisatigo, perhaps because he doesn't fit the profile of the white, male, landowning aristocrat, has been forgotten by history, has been neglected by history, has been written out, and that's why I included him in this book.
We're speaking with Senator Mike Lee. He is the author of Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. One final question, sir, and I've been trying to do some research on this, and I know a number of Americans have. Do you have any idea what covfefe is?
I think it's a beverage, something people drink in the morning, sometimes with cream, sometimes with sugar. But whatever covfefe is, I'm sure it's good. It's probably something that I, as a Mormon, can't drink.
Well spoken, sir. We've been talking with Senator Mike Lee. He is the author of Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. I really appreciate you spending the time today, sir.
Thank you.
Happy Trails. Happy Trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at nowitsthenews. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy Trails.
We're Sound Income Strategies, and baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Sound Income Strategies, the secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC.
USA Radio News.
Today is the first day that the United States slapped 25% tariffs on $34 billion of Chinese goods. Chinese officials have retaliated with tariffs on U.S. goods such as soybeans, seafood, SUVs, and crude oil. Congressman Chuck Fleischman of Tennessee says this whole matter is very concerning.
There's been a huge trade imbalance for quite some time. What's been going on in the past in terms of our trade deficit is not working. Having said that, Tennessee, my home state, has long been a beneficiary of free trade. So we're going to have to wait and see. Obviously, we have to take each country on a country-by-country basis. The EU is different from China. China is different from Canada.
Tonight, the president and vice president will dine in New Jersey. Much of the conversation will probably revolve around who President Trump will nominate to replace retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy for the Supreme Court. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you, and get rewarded.
Breaking news from MyPillow.com. Free shipping when you purchase two premium MyPillows on the two-pack special. Free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, machine washable and dryable, made in the USA. Click on the 2-pack special at MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. Be sure to use promo code USA. Free shipping on the 2-pack special. Order now.
The U.S. economy adds more jobs last month than the experts had predicted. From Washington, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes with more.
The report from the Labor Department showing 213,000 jobs were created in June, and that's significantly stronger than the 190,000 to 200,000 analysts had been predicting. That good news, though, is somewhat offset by an uptick in the jobless rate. That rose 0.2% to an even 4% last month.
The death of a retired Thai Navy SEAL diver working to rescue a soccer team from a flooded cave in northern Thailand underscores the danger and sense of urgency as more heavy rain is expected this weekend. Bruce Konef is an expert diver. He says he loves seeing all the optimism among the Navy SEALs.
I've never seen more optimistic people in my life. Everybody. I've never heard anybody speak negative. Everybody is positive. I've never seen, so many people going in the cave and that.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for cars.